The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Red FM.
Welcome once more to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour or so, bringing you all the sporting happenings from around the Rebel County. Reminder, the Hurlers had a great win over Wexford earlier, beating them in Shadwick's Wexford Park on a scoreline of 321 to 115. The footballers are also safe from relegation from Division 2 as they beat Meath in Park Tarleton on a score of 115 to 111. And I caught up with John Cleary a little earlier. To a bit of FA Cup action now. Man City currently in action against Newcastle, and it's 1-0 to Pep's men. We have Peter Smith there from the Etihad.
City 1, Newcastle 0. The goal scored by Bernardo Silva as he took a ball just outside the penalty area, drifted into the box, got the ball on his left foot from 14 yards out, so his deflected shot, speed away past Dubravka and into the back of the net. City 1, Newcastle 0.
And a reminder, Coventry City beat Wolves 3-2 earlier in an absolute thriller today to get to their first FA Cup semi-final since 1987. From the FA Cup to the Premier League now, Luton drew 1-1 against fellow bottom strugglers Nottingham Forest, only 3 points behind them. Burnley also beating 10-man Brentford 2-1. And Fulham also currently entertaining Spurs at the moment. It's a nil all there. We're unusually starting off with a bit of boxing now. Tommy Hyde, who goes under the guise of the Governor, returns to the ring tonight. Expected to be on around 3 a.m. Irish time, and you can watch the fight on his Facebook page. The 24-year-old Cork man, who is 8-0 as a professional, faces Watford's Craig McCarthy in San Francisco. Rory spoke to the Governor earlier from his training camp in California.
All right, we're less than a week out now to the return of the Governor, Mr. Tommy Hyde, to the ring as he performs in San Francisco. He's known as the Governor. I know him as a gentleman, Tommy. It is a pleasure having you on with us, buddy.
Thanks again for having me on, Rory. Great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure having you on. So where in the world do we find you?
I'm about two blocks, as they say over here, two blocks from Venice Beach.
Not a bad way to spend a Sunday afternoon, kid.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It could be worse. I wouldn't mind being home now either, but another couple of days, 10 days and I'd be home.
Weather's far better in California, but believe me. How has training camp gone for this fight?
It's cliche to say that everything went well, but it has gone well. For the last 6 weeks I've been over here now, and it's the best I've felt before a fight. I've trained very hard, I've ticked every box, and I've no injuries or niggles or anything like that, so I'm coming in all guns blazing for next week on Saturday. I'm looking forward to a great show.
Yeah, it should be. Craig McCarthy is a big name here in Ireland. It's a nice Cork little Waterford rivalry going on there as well. How did this fight come about?
So I fought on the same show as Craig back in April. It was my fourth fight, and he won the Celtic title that we're fighting for now. And my trainer said, maybe to start the next year, we'll go for this title. And that was kind of always in the sights. And then my dad was getting a fight sorted for Paddy's weekend, and we said, we'll fight an Irishman in San Francisco. So Craig McCarthy had the title, and it was kind of that simple. It was easily made. And as you said, he's a Waterford man, so he was up for the scrap and the trip to San Francisco.
Yeah, happy days. But it's nice having an Irish title fight on Patrick's Day. It's for the Celtic Super Middleweight belt next week. How big a step up in opponent is Craig McCarthy, do you think?
Well, he has a great record. He's 10 wins, 1 loss. So on paper, it is a big step up. He's after been in domestic fights like this before, and it'll be my first domestic fight. So on paper, it's a big step up. But I'm sparring some top fellas all the time in the gym over here. I'm learning every single day, and I'm constantly improving, constantly looking to get better. And I think, like, the fella that I was 6 weeks ago, is that boxer is different to the boxer that's there now today. And that's the way it should be every single camp. I want to be better, but at the end of every camp, and this is the best I felt ever.
Yeah, fantastic. What, have you changed anything for training-wise for this camp? Are you focused on any kind of specific areas compared to your last camp? How does it work?
No, it's just what my trainer says, kind of picking up new things every day, practicing new things, and he's showing me new little tricks of the trade. But even just my strength and conditioning, my running, everything, I've after ticking every box, my nutrition is been on point, and the weight is good now at the minute. I'm feeling skinny, and I'm looking forward to getting the weigh-in done, refueling, and then looking forward to a great performance on Saturday in Redwood City.
Yeah, this week now, obviously, is all about, I suppose, just making weight and kind of just keep tipping over. Do you have much weight to get down for next week, or are you right on target with it?
I'm about 7 or 8 pounds over now, which is relatively good, 5 days out from the weigh-in.
Yeah.
And I'm plenty of energy. And ask me again in maybe 3 or 4 days and I'll be cranky out. So, but that's the way, you have to expect it. You know what I mean? I'm fighting so regularly, I'm starting to enjoy the process of all this. You have to enjoy the struggle of it too, because if you don't enjoy it, this is what we're doing every couple of weeks, really, at this stage. So I'm starting to enjoy the struggle of losing weight, of suffering, and then fighting.
Yeah, you say you kept busy. This is what, fight number 8 in the space for about, what, 14 or 15 months?
Yeah, exactly that. And it's going to be another busy year this year with more titles on the line, hopefully, and more big nights back in Cork, in Boston. I just want to be fighting regularly for titles and stepping up in opponents each fight and keep getting better.
Talk to me about that last fight, Abraham Hernandez up in the parochial hall. Just another fantastic occasion. Your second time headlining there. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. I thought it was better the second time than it was for the first time. It was just a great night, and you picked up a great win that night as well.
Yeah, it was. It was a savage night. Like, in Cork, we support our own, and it was shown that night. It was unbelievable support. Again, so many familiar faces that I see there, and it just fills me with pride to be able to fight at home like that and then get so much support. It was a tough enough opponent. He was tricky. He was in there to survive. So it was hard to look good against him. I wanted to get a good knockout. So I was looking for that, which probably didn't help me. But it was a comfortable win and good experience in the bag again against a good, tough Mexican. And as I said, I want to be fighting in Cork again this year. And hopefully we'll be going up to 10 rounds by the end of the year and getting good title fights in Cork.
Fingers crossed, bud. Fingers crossed. It's a huge weekend for Cork boxing because you're fighting, Callum Walsh is fighting, Kyle Crowley is fighting, Spike O'Sullivan is fighting. It just shows you the strength of professional boxing in Cork at the moment when you've got like 4 big fights over the space of a couple of nights.
It's savage. Over 3 nights, Callum's on the Friday, I think. Me and Kyle are on Saturday and Spike on the Sunday. It's brilliant. It's but Cork boxing is thriving. Both the amateurs, there's so many top amateurs coming up in Cork from the ages of 11 up to the seniors, with Ray McCarthy, Aaron O'Donoghue, Shane Cunningham, they're all winning senior and elite titles as amateurs, which is brilliant achievements. And then in the pros, there's 6 or 7 pros now, and we're all fighting regularly. So just it's thriving in Cork at the minute, and it's great for the youngsters looking up to all of us doing our thing in the pros and the amateurs winning big titles there too.
Yeah, big time, yeah, big time, yeah. It's great to see it. It's absolutely fantastic to see Cork boxing in such a good place at the moment. Let's get back to Craig McCarthy. As you said, 10 wins, just 1 defeat. He's picked up 2 wins by KO. What are you expecting from him next Saturday night?
If you've ever seen him, he always looks like he's fairly ripped up. He's in good shape. So I'm expecting him to come in shape. And look, this is a big night for him in San Francisco, coming over to America, defending his title. So I'm expecting him to come all guns blazing, and I'll meet him in the centre of the ring and I'll be there all guns blazing too. So I'm expecting a very good fight and hopefully I get him out of there quickly.
Get straight into those burgers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. Like the Irish, there's going to be a lot of Irish there. So it's a big night for both of us and a big night for Irish boxing, having a Celtic title on the line on St. Patrick's weekend as well. So I'm delighted to be a part of it and I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to go, and I think this is going to be the best performance that I've given as a professional so far.
Yeah, really looking forward to watching you next week, dude. I think this is your 5th time fighting in America. It's your home away from home, but you're obviously comfortable fighting in America. It is home for you at this point.
Yeah, no matter where you fight, really, it's just four corners and a couple of ropes holding up, so it's all the same, really. You're going in to punch a fella and he's going in to punch you, so it's much the same, but it's good to have there's a big Irish population in America, so I feel like I'm back at home when I fight in San Francisco.
I was reading an article on boxingscene.com about you, and you were saying that you wanted to be, I suppose, kind of replicate Steve Collins and just make the step up like he did and get that big title.
Yeah, of course. He was super middleweight world champion, and that's exactly what I want to be, a super middleweight world champion. I'm fighting a super middleweight now. He fought for the Irish title over in Boston against another Irishman, of course, but we haven't got the Irish title yet, but we're going for Celtic title, and who knows, we could get an Irish title in Boston or back home in Cork, and just keep stepping up all the time. That's the main thing. Every fight is bigger than the one before.
Big time, yeah, big time, yeah. So what's the plan now for the rest of the week? We're 6 days out from the fight now, so what's the plan?
Yeah, so 6 or 7 pounds overweight now at the minute, so just bring that down. Stay hungry for the next couple of days and just lose the last bit of water weight, really. Yeah. We go to San Francisco on Tuesday, and Brandon McCarthy is from Kilkenny. He's my amateur club mate in a tie, and a good friend of mine. I know he's after an overtrain here with me twice, and he's making his pro debut on the show, so it's exciting for him. My first title fight and his first pro fight. Brilliant. And it's great to be sharing it with one of the boys as well. Like, we have a bit of crack and we enjoy training together over here.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. All right. Obviously, 100%. Like,
it's good to have one of your own.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. As I say to you, dude, every time we chat, I'm not going to wish you luck because you don't need it. I cannot wait to see you perform against Craig McCarthy next week, dude. And we'll speak to you after you win next week.
Cheers, Ron. Thanks again for all the support. I really appreciate it.
Best of luck to Tommy tonight. A reminder, that one on about 3 a.m. and you can watch the fight on his Facebook page. Now to a bit of football, and after Cork City's 2-0 win over Bray Wanderers last night, our very own Rory O'Hagan caught up with gaffer Tim Clancy.
Tim, 3 points tonight, 2 goals and a good performance.
Yeah, I think first half this week, I think we're really pleased, especially the first maybe 20-25 minutes, and when you get 2 goals up and you get to half time with a clean sheet, you're probably talking, you want to still attack and play good football second half, but you also subconsciously probably want to defend the lead as well. And the second half was a completely different performance probably to the first half, and I think we still carried a threat on the counter, but again, Brad made one save low down to his left, but after that I think we limited him to the chances, which was really pleasing.
You changed things around a bit yourself as well. Was that because Bray put three up top, was it, or?
Listen, yeah, and again, the way we were dropping off, I thought we were probably better off having an extra player in the centre of the pitch at the back, and without Barry Coffey, who gives us loads of energy, and Evan picked up a yellow card, and we were worried that he might have picked up a second one, so we had to sort of make a change because we want him available for next week. And again, Aaron Crowe comes on and makes his debut, which is brilliant, and Sully gets his first goal, which is another good goal. And I think, like, last week he got an assist, this week he gets a good goal, and I don't want to tempt fate, but we should really enjoy Cahill because he's got every chance of going to top of the game.
Yeah, it's just the composure he has for a guy who's so young. It's like, I haven't seen that in the league in, I don't know how long.
I know, and again, the weather we've had has been really, really poor, and the pitch was actually probably the best it has been this season, so the ground staff are doing a great job. And I think as the pitches get better and the game's calmed down a little bit, I think we're going to see even more out of himself and Jaden and Matty Murray and Josh. We've got a lot of good young players like Aaron and Healers as well, so there's a lot of teenagers that are playing. And I keep forgetting as well that when we talk about the young lads, we don't mention Evan McLaughlin, who's only 21 as well. So, but again, they've got the good mix of the centre backs have a good experience, and Greg Bulger and Sean Murray and Jack Doherty as well, so there's a little bit of a mix, and at the minute it's working.
Did Cahill break his nose there in the second half, or was it just a bloody nose there?
No, I just think he got a knock. He's okay, he's fine.
Greg Bulger, like, he had all that experience, but he comes in tonight, man of the match performance, didn't put a foot wrong.
No, and that's what we've been missing probably the first 4 games was when, well, 3 games, I think Greg started last week, and he gives us that little bit of experience. He coaches and he manages the game on the pitch, and a lot of stuff we want to say from the sideline, you can see that he's already given that instruction on the pitch. So, and he brings a level of calmness as well for the players around him, and again, that's why we fought tooth and nail to get Greg to the club, and he loves it here, and that's why he came back.
And you're back four as well, they're forming a very good partnership already.
Yeah, there's again, we've conceded 1 goal so far in 5 games, and that's something that we're really, really pushing. We want to keep as many clean sheets as possible. The goal we did concede was a short back pass up on Finn Harris, is sort of a mistake, and again we're bar maybe a few minutes in certain games, we're restricting teams to really good chances, and I think that's vitally important when it comes to getting wins in this league.
And Treaty's come next week, a big Munster derby, should be a great challenge up in Limerick next week.
Yeah, we've seen them last week against Bray, And down in Limerick, I'm going to go to the Longford game tomorrow night, so we get eyes on them again. And again, they've had a brilliant start. Tommy is working wonders there again. He does it year after year, putting squads together and getting a blend of youngsters and experience as well. And listen, it's going to be a very tough game next week, but it's one that we can go into now with a little bit more confidence again after another win.
Thanks, Tim.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, man.
Rory then spoke to his co-commentator and City legend Philip Long about proceedings, as well as Bray icon Richie Parsons. Enjoy.
Full time at Turner's Cross, Cork City 2, Bray 0. Philip Long, Cork City legend, alongside me here. And Phil, a thoroughly deserved win for Cork City.
Great result tonight for City. Totally dominated the game. Got a great start. They went 2 up. Bray, as usual, started off a bit slow. Didn't come into the game in the first half. 2 down at half time, but they did come into it in the second half, but not enough. Not enough, really. And Greg Baljo was absolutely brilliant in the middle of the park and dictated everything for City. Truly deserved victory.
We had the honour of having Richie Parsons, League of Ireland legend, Bray Wanderers goal-scoring superstar hero on co-commentary with us tonight. And Richie, I suppose what Phil said, a deserved win for Cork City tonight.
Thoroughly deserved. Well deserved. Outstanding team performance from City right through, from the goalkeeper, who didn't have too much to do, but when he was called upon, he made a super save low at his left hand post in the second half. But for me personally, Greg Bulger was amazing tonight. Class performance by him. But the three young lads up front,
Sullivan,
Doherty and
Wood
were absolutely outstanding in the first half in particular. And they were just unplayable for the first half. They were super. They give Bray nightmares. I'd say the Bray defenders will have nightmares about them three young lads tonight. Yeah. They were outstanding.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about Cathal O'Sullivan, and as I said in commentary, the boy is a bit special. 17 years of age, his birthday was recently. Yeah, happy birthday, Cathal. And to score that goal from the angle that he did just shows you the confidence of the young fella.
Ah, it's just unbelievable. And he's getting better and better every week, Rory. And we're in the grade that we can see that. But he took that goal brilliantly, just got to the byline. And what Richie said was right. Jack Doherty peeled off towards the centre spot just in case Sullivan was going to lay it back. But as he laid it, as Jack went, you know, there was a big gap there.
Yeah.
And he just hammered it into the roof of the net.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
He was a class
brilliant
act, all right. Yeah,
very,
yeah,
very mature for a 17-year-old, you know.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the sky's the limit for that kid.
I suppose Cork City were the favourites to go up, Richie, based on, I suppose, their full-time and a lot of money's been spent on that squad. From what you've seen tonight, you expect them to win this first division?
I do. I think I've seen a couple of their games on TV earlier on in the year, and I think they're the best team in the league. They've probably got the strongest squad as well, and they've without doubt the best support in the country in the first division. And anyway, they are the support from the Shed in particular, yeah, is amazing. Like, it's the first time I've been here in a few years, but the support in the Shed for City is absolutely amazing. It's great to hear, great to see. Long may it continue, not just for Cork City, for every team in the league. Hopefully it keeps building and going from strength to strength.
And for City next, Phil, Treaty United, big Munster derby next week, which will be a very, very good test for this City team, who have been winning. They haven't been performing maybe 10 out of 10 performances, but they're getting the wins, and that's all you want, really.
Oh yeah, definitely, that's all you want. But as you said, it's a local derby against Treaty next week, and you know, there's one or two players ex-Cork City there, and it'll be nice to play against them as well. You'd have to fancy City the way they're playing at the moment, Rory, so it'll be a great game to watch.
And for Bray, Rich, what are the expectations there for the season?
Well, if they continue with the second half performance that they had tonight and last week as well, if they can just continue that for the whole 90 minutes, they might sneak into the playoffs. Hopefully they get the playoffs. But the performances need to be for 90 minutes and not just 45.
Finally, Phil, there aren't many men who scored 100 goals in League of Ireland football. One of them is standing to my right. Talk to me about Richie as a player. What was he like?
He was a class player. Class player. You know, you just hated when he come and turn around and he run at you. You know, because he was definitely going to score. So you had to be very close to him and make sure he just didn't get the ball. You know, but what a player. Exceptional player. Great player.
What was Longy like? Tell us the truth. I've seen him play, I remember.
One of the toughest players I ever had to play against. Very tough, good defender, read the game very well. His record against me stands for himself. I never scored playing against him, so that'll tell you he was a very good defender. So Happy and birthday. A really nice guy, I have to say.
Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your company tonight.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Great stuff there. Just checking in the Premier League, Fulham are 1-0 up against Tottenham in the FA Cup. Man City have gone 2-0 to the good against Newcastle. Rory was certainly a busy man as he also caught up with City's Greg Bulger after their win. The audio isn't particularly amazing, but bear with us.
I wanted to ask you a call. Like, every so often you see a talent in the league, you know he's special from the second you see him, and that's been the case like for Cork City fans with Carl. You said his work rate has been the standard thing for him. You've obviously seen him up close in training. What to you stands out with Carl O'Sullivan?
Yeah, no, look, obviously he's talented. He has a right chance to have a good, great career, but the thing with Cotley is he's down to earth. He works hard, he's like a sponge, he takes information in, either be the staff or players around him, and he wants to learn and wants to get better, and I think that's a great trait to have in a young player. And you don't want to be building him up too much. He's only got 17, and you don't want to put too much pressure on him and stuff, but look, I think he's around a good group of lads here and staff and all that look after him, and it's up to him then. Like I said, he does take everything in, takes information in, which is great. I think at 16, 17, he wants to be a player. That's the biggest thing for me. And it's up to him then to go do it, listen to the people around him, good information, bad information, take it all in, take it all on board. And like I said, work his backside off, which he's doing. And you can see a good career from him. But he needs to keep going, keep at it, wanting to improve, and I think he'll have a great career.
And if you, as you mentioned, your first start in Cork City at Turner's Cross in Cork City Colours for a number of years, to be named man of the match, very special indeed. How would you rate your own performance, and do you feel you're back at 100% fitness?
Yeah, no, like I said, I think that's my first 90 minutes in probably 5 months since last, is it November, October, with Sligo, so I was happy. I want to be playing 90 minutes. I don't want to be coming off. I'm not getting any younger or anything, but I'm not spring chicken anymore. But I want to play as many minutes as I can. I think my body's, I've been lucky enough over the years, but injuries, I broke my leg, that was it. I haven't had many muscle injuries, just one obviously at the start of the year. So I want to play as much as I can. And hopefully that was good now to get 90 minutes under the belt, and hopefully kick on into next week.
Thanks, Craig.
No problem.
Appreciate it, bud.
No problem.
Great stuff out of Greg, Rory, and Rory's heavy breathing there. Thought Darth Vader was doing the interview at the start. To football now of another kind. And after the Cork footballers won 15-111 win over Meath in Park Tarleton today, I was lucky enough to chat to boss John Cleary. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork football boss John Cleary. John, you happy with that performance today? Great win.
Yeah, I suppose the performance was quite a mix at times. I thought we played excellently well, but we had a lot of turnovers and probably misses. But I suppose at the end of the day, the result was the chief thing there, and we're delighted to get that result. And, you know, Meath isn't an easy place to go up to and get a result. So happy with that, and, you know, so-so with the performance. But look, we'll take it for the last 10 minutes. I think our lads are great in determination, and look, ultimately got us over the line.
Yeah, when Meade got that goal the last 10-15 minutes there, were you ever in doubt, I suppose, or did you know the lads could easily have it under control?
Well, I felt we were well in the game at that stage, and they hit us with two breaks and got 1-1, you know. And I knew we had guys coming off the bench that were, you know, going to hopefully make a difference. And once Meade didn't go 5 or 6 points up, I still felt we had a chance. And, you know, a lot of these games, and at the county level, are won, and, you know, from the 65th to the 72nd minute, and that's the way it turned out today. And, you know, as I said, thanks for the God, the bench did make a big difference for us, and we pushed on and got over the line.
Yeah, you're talking about the bench there. Some people seem to really make an impact. I mean, the likes of Stephen Sherlock. There's always nice headaches to have, I suppose, John, as a manager.
Yeah, without a doubt, because, you know, the last few weeks, most of those players have got fit. And it's a difficult task to pick the team, and then it's even difficult to pick the panel. And, you know, we had some good players that were left behind this weekend because we can only put 26 on the panel, you know. But when you have the caliber of Rory Dean, Stephen Sherlock, Mark Cronin,
Powder,
Sean Powder starting today, and you had Killian O'Hanlon as well, and one next week coming off the bench, like, and you know, they're a match for any bench that's in the country, and ultimately they didn't, you know. They helped us enormously to get over the line.
Will you be mixing it up against Armagh now that we're safe from relegation?
Yeah, like we'll sit down now and look at the permutations, because not long, you know, we're mathematically not into December, where as of yet, depending on how future results go. So we'd be definitely going out to win the game next week against Armagh, because we probably need something out of it to be, you know, certain of our somewhere place. So look, that's for tomorrow now. I think we'll just see how the results did both this evening as well. So that'll have a bearing on how we're thinking there for next weekend. But no, we'll be going all guns blazing, I would think, for the Armagh game next weekend.
Yeah, and just a word on the fans who travelled up. I mean, I heard a sizeable enough contingent of fans travelling. They clapped off the team at the end.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And particularly there when we were, you know, when we got levelled and got our, you know, got ahead second, third, and fourth point to clear the roar behind us there in the stand. And fair play to them, the guys there, when the lads were ready off the pitch, you know, they were clapped off. So, you know, it wasn't an easy ask for people to get up to Navan today, but fair play to those guys. And I'd like to thank everyone them, and their support was hugely appreciated and, you know, enormously helped us today, you know.
John Cleary, thanks so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Dan.
Cheers. Thanks, John. Great stuff from John and the Cork footballers today, beating Meath safe from relegation. Dan Casey here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Join us after the break, where we'll be hearing from Cork Camogie boss Tony Daly, and we go to the Gaelic football stats man. Be right back after these.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Red FM. Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. The Big Red Bench.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. After the Cork footballers win against Meath in Park Talton today, I caught up with the at Gaelic Statsman Matthew Hurley, who was there in Navan to chat us through the game, as well as Cork football in general. We are once again delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Matthew Hurley, also known as the Gaelic Statsman, after Cork's win over Meath today, 115-111. Matthew, this was hugely needed. We are now safe from relegation.
Yeah, Dan, it was an absolutely incredible win, especially when they went 3 points down around midway through the second half. When Matthew Costello got that goal, I thought the game was gone, personally. But the players, they bounced back into it. Brilliant performance in the second half. And especially the subs that came on did absolutely outstanding. And in fairness, the players that started were really, really good. They tore into Meath from early on in the game, and did fairness to them. Like, I know Meath played well themselves, but the players were absolutely brilliant in fairness. Like, Sean Meehan in the first half was a colossal figure at centre-back. I think Brian Hurley, to be fair to him, was very good at corner-forward. Conor Corbett's just a starless in the forward line today. Absolutely incredible. He got 1-3, and as well as that, in the second half, he got one outstanding point, I think, to level the game, if memory serves me correctly. And then he pushed up on a Meath kick-out to win the ball back for one of Stephen Sherlock's points. He was absolutely outstanding. And the subs that came on, Sherlock, as I mentioned there, 3 points, two from play. And yeah, the whole team deserve a lot of credit. John Cleary deserves a lot of credit. And in fairness, after the Cavan game, the players could have easily gave up, but they stuck in there. They've got 3 wins in a row. And now, as you mentioned there, they're safe.
Yeah, after that Cavan game, what was your own thoughts about Cork football in general? I personally got the sense that was it. We are going down. There's no hope for us here. But that's not a sentiment shared by the Cork management and players, obviously.
It probably just shows the bounce back ability within the team. And it shows that the players are willing to give up, no matter what the media throw at them, no matter what localist kind of things that go their way, they still keep plugging in there, and they never give up, and they give everything for the fans. And I think that's a credit to the players themselves as well. And a few things went wrong in the first few games, even in the Fermanagh game with the first of the 3 wins in a row. A few things went wrong in the first half, and then Mara Shanley scores that late goal. But then they get that bit of luck at the end. But then against Kildare, they were very good in the second half. And today, 3 points down, as I mentioned, and they still, you know, plugged in there and got back into the game. And it was really not 1-15, but it was 1-20. They did absolutely superb. And it was the defence, the attack, the midfield was very good, which it wasn't in usual circumstances. But Colm O'Callaghan and Ian Maguire deserve a lot of credit. They were very good under the kickouts. And once we put pressure on Meath in the second half as well, we got a lot of joy, and the players deserve a lot of credit, as I mentioned there. And yeah, it was just a brilliant win, brilliant performance attack-wise as well, which isn't usually the case for the Cork footballers. I remember last year against Derry, we had a 37% shot accuracy. Today it was 64%. That's a huge improvement. And the players, again, deserve a lot of credit. The management deserve a lot of credit. And yeah, it was a brilliant win and it was badly needed. And we're mathematically safe now, Dan. So we could rest easy, I suppose, in the next few games.
What about Sherlock? Is he now nailed on for a starting position come that Munster semi-final?
Oh, that's a tough one to call, really, because Brian Hurley did very well today. Conor Corbett was excellent. Chris O'Jones was the top scorer from Clay coming into today in Division 2. But I get your point. Like, Sherlock was brilliant coming on. 3 points, 2 from Clay. And I think, like, every shot he nearly took he nearly went over the bar, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. And it wasn't usually working for him in the last few games, but today he stuck at it, and it eventually reaped its rewards. He did absolutely brilliant in Vernaston. And, like, it's a tough one because a lot of players are now... Like, I remember talking to you a few weeks ago saying that, and you were saying to me that the players kind of didn't put their hands up on the bench to put themselves into the four for the starting 15 position. But there was a few there now today, not just Sherlock, but Killian O'Hanlon as well coming on. Rory Dean offered a bit. I know he came off early enough. I think it was an injury, and hopefully Rory gets well soon after this. But like, he performed well at aspects and coming onto the pitch as well. In fairness, Owen McSweeney drove the team in the closing stages too. So a lot of players definitely put their hands up for selection, not just Sherlock. So yeah, and that's a brilliant headache to have for John Cleary, in fairness. And yeah, I think I'd agree with you. Sherlock was brilliant coming on today.
Who are you having in that forward line? Yourself personally, coming on it. Yeah.
It's a tough one, really. I think Chris Oak has to be there. He scored a lot from play up until today. I'd probably have Brian Hurley still floating in and around there. Corbett is a must in there. Like, he's just a star, as I mentioned. 1-3 from play, he scored a goal as well from play against Kildare, and adds a different dimension to the forward line as well. And every time he gets on the ball, he's just absolutely class. So I definitely have Corbett there. I definitely have Jones there. You'd have to have Hurley because of the experience that he has. Poulter, again, like, when he came into the team, late change today, he was absolutely superb. Like, Killian O'Hanlon's even putting his hand up. Like, if I was to go into my head now and say, who would I put in the forward? I'd probably go Chris Oak, Corbett, Hurley, Poulter probably. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to have Sherlock after today as well. But it's hard to fit them all in, Dan, yeah. Because, like, it really is. But I'd definitely have Jones, I'd definitely have Sherlock, but the rest of them could interchange a small bit moving into the Munster Championship.
Yeah, it's like the hurlers. We seem to have an abundance of forwards, but we might be lacking something in the back line at times. You were speaking about the fans there. Was there a big Cork contingent up there today to support the team?
There's a sizeable contingent, in fairness. The loyal supporters were absolutely brilliant today in shouting on the team. And as I mentioned, the players getting a standing ovation coming off the pitch, it was just brilliant to see. Obviously, there was more meat support in the ground, but like, the Cork support definitely stuck with the team as it was going into the closing stages. And as I mentioned, with Matthew Costello scoring that goal, you would have thought the game was gone. But the fans, in fairness to them, they G'd up the Cork players, they got them back into the game, and it was brilliant to see. It really was brilliant to see. And I think there was... And considering there's a hurling game on later, I don't know, is that ongoing against Wexford now? But, like, considering that was going on as well on this exact same day, and it was Patrick's weekend, I think the Cork support that went in Avon today should be applauded. And in fairness to them, they drove on the team in the last few minutes, even when the game looked lost. And they deserve a lot of credit too.
Plenty of dedicated people there like yourself. Did you think the game was gone for Cork after Meath got that goal? Was it 10-15 minutes left?
Honestly, Dan, I did, yeah. I thought it was gone out of our grasp when Matthew Costello scored that goal, and then the same player scored a point straight afterwards. And it was just, like, it was almost like Meath had the grasp in the game, and they were putting points over, which they wouldn't have usually done in the first half. They had a lot of wides. I think they had 8 overall. They had 4 in the first half alone. So, like, when they were knocking over a few points, like Owen Frayn, Rory Kinsella, Shane Walsh were getting into their own and doing absolutely brilliant, in fairness to them. Like, I thought the game was gone completely. But in fairness to the players, they haven't done it done it in the lead per se. Like against Donegal, for example, when the game was gone, it was gone for a few minutes going into the end of the game. But even when they were 3 points down, even when the game looked lost, the players still stuck at it, and they have to be applauded for that. And as well as that, Dan, they didn't need a goal to get back to the game too, which was probably the most pleasing aspect in many facets of the game. So, yes, the players deserve a lot of credit, and to get back into the game when it looked lost, as you mentioned, I think it speaks volumes of their mentality more than anything.
Yeah, because I didn't get a chance to see it, just listening. Did Meath throw it away a bit, or was it a case Cork were just so good ultimately that won the day?
I think, honestly, the fact we pushed up at the kickouts towards the end of the game definitely helped us. Like I mentioned with Stephen Sherlock's point after Corbett stuck a worldie over the bar. Corbett pushes up, I think, on Donald Keoghan, the Meath defender, turns him over, passes to Sherlock, puts it over the bar. And I think up until the 60th minute, I think Meath had 12 kickouts. They won every single one of them. And then Cork won four or five of Meath's kickouts in the last 10 minutes of the game. And that just, it told you, they pushed up at the kickouts, they put pressure on them. Ian Maguire and Colin McCallum got a lot of joy in the middle of the field too. And they started to turn them over slowly but surely. I think that was the changing point in the game when Cork started to do that. They definitely put a lot more pressure on Meath. And Meath performed well to them, to be fair to them today. I just think the tenacity of Cork, the fact they changed their tactics up a small bit, I think it was a real role in getting Cork over the line today.
It's a much different conversation to the one we had a few weeks back. Where do you think Cork's hopes for the years now lie? How far do you think we'll go? Where do you think we'll go?
Oh, it's a tough one. Like, I think we should be safe for Sam Maguire now. We'll touch wood, Dan. We don't know with the permutations with the provincial draws and things like that. But like, I would imagine the Sam Maguire is safe for Cork. I think the main aim for him now is to possibly get to a preliminary quarterfinal in the Sam Maguire Cup, most like we did last year. Like, the quarterfinal would be a bonus again. The semi-final would be an extra bonus for this team, especially what happened at the start of the year. But the fact we have stayed up, I think, after the start that we had this year, I think speaks volumes of the players' tenacity, and the fact we got over this hurdle, I think, speaks volumes. And I think, honestly, it's a decent league already, but I think in the Championship we need to get to a preliminary quarterfinal or quarterfinal to get to the next level, where John Cleary, I'd imagine, wants the players to get to. So it's going to be a tough summer. There's a lot of tough teams there, but I think the players are definitely capable of it, considering the performance they gave today and in the last game, to be fair, against Kildare in the second half too.
Yeah, is a Munster semi-final win against Kerry just wishful thinking on my behalf?
I think it might be, Dan, just slightly.
Thought you might say.
Yeah, but Kerry are a brilliant team. There's no doubt about it. They're just a superb team, like with Paddy Clifford, David Clifford, Sean O'Shea. It's going to be very difficult to beat them, and especially in Killarney as well. Cork haven't won there, I think, since 1995. Correct me if I'm wrong now. So, like, it's going to be take a lot to beat that Kerry team who are up there contending for All-Ireland. And that's not a slight on Cork whatsoever. It's just how good Kerry are. But yeah, I think a good performance in Killarney would definitely be a possibility for Cork, considering the performance now today. Again, we shouldn't get too ahead of ourselves. It was a brilliant win today, but the players have to keep going and going and get the just rewards that way. But I think the main aim now for the Munster Championship is to beat Limerick first of all. We can't discount Limerick. I know they're in Division 3. I think they lost to Wicklow today in Division 3 too, but we still can't discount them. We have to go ahead and beat them in the Munster Championship, and then we can start thinking about Kerry and have a lash off them in Killarney. And then in the All-Ireland Series, we might do something then like we did last season. But yeah, it all looks rosier in the garden than it did a few weeks ago. I'd say that. At the same time, like, a win against Armagh, like, it would be nice. We'll have to see how Armagh now get on tonight against Cavan. I think they're playing later on in Division 2. If they win that, they might play a second team. Cork might catch them on the hop a small bit and might win that game. And it would be nice to get a fourth win in a row for a bit of confidence for the players. I know we don't necessarily need that, but to get a win would be absolutely brilliant for the team in general. So yeah, roll on Armagh next week.
Matthew Hurley, also known as the at Gaelic Statsman, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench. Brilliant stuff out of Matthew there, to a bit of camogie now, and ahead of next week's very National Camogie League Division 2B final with Tipperary. John McCarthy has been speaking with Cork Intermediate boss Tony Daly.
Now on the Big Red Bench, I'm delighted to be joined by the Cork Intermediate Camogie manager, Tony Daly, following his side's recent fantastic victory at home to Clare. And that victory was significant because it has ensured that the Rebels Intermediate Camogie team will contest this year's very Division 2B National League final. We know it's March 23rd. We know it's against Tip. We just don't know where at the time of recording. But the important thing is that Cork's Intermediate's enjoying a really good National League campaign, and now they've reached the very Division 2B final. Donny, first of all, congratulations on reaching the league final. Was this the goal at the start of the league campaign, or were we just talking about developing the squad?
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, far from it, this being the goal, to be honest. It wasn't anywhere near our thoughts when we were appointed. We were appointed late, a couple of weeks before the league started. We had no management team appointed. We put together, I suppose, a panel, our trialing panel is what we call it, based on girls that had been there last year, girls come up from minor, and I suppose girls that we had, you know, known, you know, from the club scene over the last, you know, 12 months. So we put together roughly a panel of 40 for trialing, and that's what we called it. We said, look, we don't have time to kind of do trials before the league, so we'll use the league as basically the platform for picking our championship panel. So we went out with the aim of each week giving girls an opportunity to play. We told them that we'd change the team every week. Some girls that may play on one Saturday may not even get a jersey the following Saturday. Such was the depth we had, and that's what we did. And I suppose the girls responded very well to it. We had great, I suppose, support from Ger Manley and the seniors, because we had a kind of arrangement where, you know, he would have girls, again, maybe surplus to requirement of a particular Saturday that would be available to us. And there's about 10 girls, I suppose, that can be, common to both panels, that can kind of move up and down over any particular week. So we've utilized that to the full as well. So the league final certainly wasn't in our plans. Our plan was to, formulate a panel for a championship, and this is I suppose it's basically a bonus. We're in bonus territory now at this stage, to be honest.
Yeah, you certainly are in bonus territory, and considering the large panel that you had, and like the arrangement that you always have to have as the intermediate manager with the senior manager, clearly the lines of communication are working with yourself and Ger Manley, Tony, because as you said, there's a surplus of players some weeks, then there isn't, and look, you're trying to get players game time at this time of the year. That's really the key thing, more than anything. Qualifying for the league final is fantastic, and it is a really good achievement when you consider the opposition that you've overcome to get there. But that line of communication with yourself and Ger Manley, he's in new, you're in new, it's clearly working.
Yeah, look, and I have to thank Ger, straight away when we got the job, he was on offering, I suppose, his support, offering his help. And, I suppose I talked to Ger twice a week anyway. And he'll say, look, I have this girl, that girl available for you next week. How are you fixed? I say, yeah, look, rather than having them sit on the bench or rather than them sitting at home, because Ger tends to bring 26 to his league fixtures, and he's carrying a panel of about 33-34, so he'd have a good few girls available each week, and notwithstanding the fact that he's trying a lot of girls in the league as well. So when there's an opportunity for a senior player, what we call him, available, we'll do our best to, I suppose, avail of that. And similarly, Ger has given a lot of our girls, the intermediate girls, game time in challenge games. And like that, I explained to the girls at the start that, with this kind of communication between myself and Ger, they would have opportunities. He would be coming to games, he'd be watching them. And, we certainly have no fear that, if any of our girls are good enough, or any of the intermediate girls are good enough, then, if they get an opportunity to play senior, and at the end of the day, that's the goal for all these girls. We're not going to stop them. We're not going to, try and persuade them to stay intermediate. If the girls are being spotted by Ger, if they're good enough, and they want to take the step up, we're more than happy that they go up. And similarly, look, there might be girls, you know, on the senior panel that, you know, if they feel it, maybe another year, or maybe come down and play to meet it for a year, might suit them better, then, you know, it's going to help Cork Camogie, you know, as opposed to just being kind of my own patch or you're looking after his own patch. It's kind of, we're looking at a bigger picture.
You certainly are, and it's certainly working. You're listening to the Big Red Bench with me here, Ger McCarthy, interviewing the Cork Intermediate manager, Donie Daly. His team have qualified for the very Camogie National League Division 2B final. You mentioned a lot of players there, a lot of churn of players between the two squads, Donie. One player, a couple of players in particular, you've announced that Lauren Homan from Brian Dillon's is going to be the captain for the year, and also that the vice-captain is Ciara O'Sullivan from Newcestown. Just briefly tell me why those two players have been picked, and isn't it great to see Ciara back, especially after such a long injury layoff?
Yeah, and if I can start with Ciara. Ciara started, I think, two senior All-Ireland finals prior to her injury. She's an unbelievable player. You know, her quality is well known throughout the country. And the fact that she has bounced back from what could have been a career-ending injury is testament to her, I suppose, her hard work and her belief in herself. Like, we were really impressed when Ciara was made available for us. Her dedication training is, you know, she's the first out doing her warm ups, doing her stretches. She really is a kind of inspiration to the other girls. And we said it, we've called her on a couple of occasions during training to say, look, this is the standard that the other girls need to, I suppose, get to. And like her influence with younger girls, and we have an awful lot of minor girls that came up, has really proven helpful to us over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, we're delighted to have Ciara for as long as we will have her. Again, I'm sure she will be catching Ger's eye over the next couple of weeks, months anyway, definitely. I suppose then Lauren, what can I say about Lauren? Lauren has been kind of mainstay of the intermediate team for the last number of years. We were really, again, impressed when we got the job. I kind of had a chat with Lauren, you know, I suppose told her how impressed we were with her playing ability. But I kind of asked her to put her arms kind of around the younger members of the panel, and, you know, to kind of bring them along, to kind of use her experience to influence them and help them. And her, I suppose, her attitude over the last, you know, 10 weeks, again, has been of huge benefit to the management. So we had no qualms when it came to picking a captain and vice captain.
Excellent stuff. Now, following your 2-12-7 victory over Clare at Castle Road last weekend, it is now set up on the 2024 Very Division 2B National League Camogie Final. It will take place on Saturday, March 23rd. It'll be Cork versus Tipperary, the venue to be decided. Lots to look forward to. Very briefly, just to finish up, Donie, what happens between now and that final on the 23rd for you and the panel?
Yeah, look, the weather is playing, I suppose, havoc for everybody with regard to pitches. So we're just doing what we can. We've been in Astro Turf in Glenville and St. Vincent's the last couple of, you know, last two training sessions, and we will be for the next, you know, the next 2 weeks. We really upped the intensity in our training after the Wexford game. We just felt that, notwithstanding we were winning games, we just felt that our intensity in training probably wasn't at the level that we were hoping for. So kind of after the Wexford game, we kind of brought it up a notch, and the girls really responded for the Clare game. And that's the level of intensity that we had last night in training. And it's that kind of level we're going to be trying to hit for the next 2 weeks. We're looking for a challenge game on Saturday. It's not fully finalised yet, but again it's targeting teams, it's targeting pitches, but that's the plan. And we're just going to kind of do what we've been doing for the next number of weeks, but just more intense. Again, we'll probably have again, 34, 35 girls available for selection, so it's going to be very hard. And unfortunately, a couple of girls will end up not getting a jersey. It's just, you know, the nature of it. And again, it's hard to try and, I suppose, keep everybody happy. Hopefully, we are doing it. Winning kind of does keep people happy. And it's just a case of, look, over the next couple of weeks, just, you know, doing what we can do with the weather situation, and hopefully then we'll have enough done. We will have enough done for Tipperary on the 23rd.
Excellent stuff, Tony Daly, Cork Intermediate Camogie manager. We wish you all the best ahead of that 2024 Very Division 2B National League final against Tipperary on March 23rd. Thanks very much for talking to us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks, Gerard. Much appreciated.
Brilliant stuff. And Ireland have just retained their Rugby Union Six Nations title after a 17-13 victory over Scotland at the Aviva. Dan Sheehan and Andrew Porter scoring the tries for us in Dublin. Now won back-to-back championships. Now Rory has been chatting to former Ireland international Damien Delaney as Virgin Media Television celebrates Mega March.
All right, Damien Delaney joins us as Virgin Media Television celebrates Mega March, their biggest ever month of live sport with Guinness Six Nations, Republic of Ireland International Friendlies, the Cheltenham Festival and much more. Damien, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. Thank you. Really good.
It's good to have you on with us, fella. First up, I suppose, the Republic of Ireland friendlies coming up on Virgin Media over the next while. What were your thoughts on John O'Shea getting the job on an interim basis, first off?
Yeah, I think, look, it's going to be a good decision. Obviously, the FA weren't quite ready to pull the trigger, didn't have somebody ready to come in, so you prefer that they get the right man rather than rush it through. So I think John is more than capable of holding fort for a couple of games, and then we all look forward to the new era starting fully in early April. But John is a superb character, superb guy. Always has the right values and right ethos, work ethic, and I'm sure he'll do a great job.
I've been surprised it's kind of been difficult for the FAI to fill the job on a permanent basis.
No, I wouldn't say a surprise. Finding any manager is difficult, and then when you factor in the reported salary that's on offer, and when you factor in the attractiveness of a job, when you're trying to attract somebody from the outside world to come in and take the job, obviously salary comes into it. Obviously, we are optimistic about it, but I suppose if you're on the outside looking in at our job with our world ranking and the way that our last couple of qualification Nations League groups have gone, maybe somebody's kind of looking at that and they found it difficult, or it kind of narrows the list of candidates that are available to you. So you're trying to pick out the best one that's available. Obviously, they found the right man now, but because of contractual obligations, he wasn't available. So John does it.
And John, just an Irish stalwart as well, comes in, and he's obviously very, very proud to do it. He's brought in Brian Kerr as well, which is fantastic for Irish football fans to see Brian Kerr back involved with Irish football.
Yeah, Brian's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Delighted for him. You know, he's been out of the game a long time. He's been with me in the punditry studio, really, but I know that Brian is a real football man. He loves being back involved in a team environment. It's where he spent the vast majority of his life, in their own teams, in their own players, in their own people, and he's brilliant at that, having had experience with him as a young fellow myself. So he's very, very good, and he gets to go in now and help John, and I mean, he will certainly add to the group that's there.
Yeah, two games against Belgium and Switzerland to come up, and I suppose from an Irish perspective, I suppose we want to see some decent performances in those two games, because there's certainly plenty of talent and plenty of exciting players at John's disposal for those two games and for the new manager coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, you can't look at the last campaign and say that it was a success. It wasn't, hence the reason why the manager lost his job. And John needs to look back at that and understand why and figure out why we didn't get the results we wanted. No, I'm not saying that success in that group would have been finishing top above, you know, the Dutch and France. Obviously not, but we had to finish third in that group, and we always said that as soon as the draw was made, success would be finishing third in that group. And unfortunately, the Greeks done us over twice, and that's probably why Stephen ended up losing his job. So John needs to look at that and needs to understand why we did that and the mistakes we made and how we can be better defensively and how we can be score more goals or construct opportunities to score more goals more precisely.
And for us, Damien, as Cork men, I suppose to see Chidozie Agbene doing so well in the Premier League this year has given us, I suppose, an extra reason to smile.
Yeah, listen, he's been brilliant. He's been a breath of fresh air. You know, he's got an opportunity and he's taken it with both hands, and he's been superb. And then he's going to have a great season with Luton. It'd be brilliant if they could stay up. If Luton stayed up, then he'd obviously have another year in the Premier League. But if not, then, you know, he's done himself no harm with the year that he's had. And from a national team point of view, you have to look at now, where do we fit him in? Where's his best position for us? He's playing wing back for Luton. So these are things that John has to consider. Will John persist with the same formation? Will he change formation? And where do you fit Chidozie in? Because he's such a talented player. He's one of the first names on the team sheet. But how do you get the most out of him? That's the question John has to answer.
I get the impression that even if Luton go down, I think Chidozie Ogbeni is going to be playing Premier League football next season, because he has it all. He's got pace, he's got power, and he's got a really good eye for goal.
Yeah, listen, he's got all the attributes, you know, to play Premier League football, and technically as well, he's improved so much. His ball retention, his choice, his decision making, from everything I've seen out of him this year, he's been superb. And then obviously his natural athleticism and his pace, that's stuff that you can't teach people, you know, that's God-given, and he fits right in with the Premier League. When you look at his, when he turned on the afterburners there, you know, he's somebody that fullbacks will be very, very wary of moving forward. And I hope they stay up, because I hope he has another crack in the Premier League next year, because he'll enjoy it even more.
Yeah, certainly. So he scored that great goal against Liverpool a couple of weeks back. The title race, Damien, in the Premier League is absolutely fascinating, and even more so now with the fact that it looks like it's going to be a three-horse race with 10 games left to go, with Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City all fighting for it.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the best. Well, we thought that the year that both Liverpool and Man City got over 100 points was going to be the best year, but I think this is going to be better again, because, you know, Arsenal just seem to be lurking in the shadows, just on the periphery, and they'll fancy their chances now as well. But Man City still have to play Arsenal as well, so it's going to be a huge run-in. And I wouldn't like to pick a winner.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to say, who'd
yeah,
you fancy?
I know, I know. I knew that was going to be your next question. Yeah. I couldn't give you, it would just be picking names out of a hat, because all three of them, you can put forward a case for all three of them, and it would be hard to argue against it. So, you know, it's going to come down to probably one decision or two decisions possibly, or might even be a referee decision like we saw yesterday with the penalty that wasn't given. You know, that's huge.
Yeah, I have a feeling myself, Damien. I think that Liverpool might win it just on the Klopp factor alone, and I suppose like their home games at Anfield now, every game is almost going to be like a farewell for them, so that emotion might push Liverpool over the line.
Like, listen, that's a fair argument. That stands up. So I can't argue that, but I don't know if that's enough to get them over the line. But again, you can make a similar argument for Man City. You can make an even better one for Arsenal. The way they've been just demolishing teams since the winter break, they've been seriously impressive. So listen, I think we should all just sit back, relax, and enjoy it.
Yeah, really looking forward to the last 10 games. Just lastly for me, Damien, you're also Cork City back life in the first division, but they've started very, very well. Yeah. Things looking very, very promising there.
Yeah, it does, in fairness. You know, it was always important that once you got relegated that you started the next season as well as you possibly could, and we've done that, in fairness, have been collecting the points that we have, and to be sitting joint top of the league, and the team looks like it's in a good place. So listen, it's a long hard slog of season, but anyway, the start was the most important bit, and we've got that right, so it's just up to us now to maintain it, and hopefully we can get back to where we belong.
Fingers crossed. Damien, a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for talking to us.
All right, man. Thanks, Roy.
Good luck. That is all we have time for, folks. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. And thanks a million to all our brilliant contributors as well. Stevie G is on the way next, and I'll chat to you next week.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Red FM.